This is podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and we are here at TICON 2006 in Santa Clara, California. And I'm here with Rich Beyer, who is the CEO of Intercell. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Now, tell us a little bit about Intercell, that those that may not have heard about it, but they're probably certainly using some of Intercell's products.
Mm-hmm. Intercell is a semiconductor company that focuses purely on analog chips. Those chips are used in a wide variety of interesting applications. As you said, many of the listeners use the products that we provide semiconductors for, such as LCD TVs, notebooks, iPods, cell phones and smartphones. They're also used in a wide variety of communication systems like DSL modems and the like. Companies headquartered here in Silicon Valley, and we have design centers all around the world, many in North America. We have one in India. We have another one in the UK, and about 1,300 employees altogether.
So what is Intercell doing at TICON, and what is the interest? Obviously, you have the connections to India with having work there, but tell me, what's the particular interest in coming to TICON this year?
We're here. This is we've been here several other times before. The fact of the matter is, we have a great set of technical people in our company that are Indian. And we are constantly looking for technical talent, and we find that the Indian universities are generating really, really fine graduates that can help us. And so we're here to basically talk about the Intercell name. We're here to, notify people that are coming into the workforce that Intercell is a fine place to work, and we certainly have job opportunities that might be challenging given the skill sets that they've developed.
Well, given that that recruit and that outreach, what's the difference between Intercell and, say, some of the other analog chip peers that are out there?
We're saying that Intercell has really transformed itself over the last couple of years from a very broadline supplier of chips to a pure analog company. And in the process, we've developed a number of product families that are growing very rapidly. We've entered new markets that are growing very rapidly. And over the last 18 months, Intercell has been the fastest growth analog company of all of the major analog companies in the world. So we're a very exciting place, and we see that growth continuing, and we think that growth really creates new opportunities for all of our employees.
Now, with that growth, you've probably had to acquire companies along the way, huh?
We have. We've grown through both internal development of new products, but we've also acquired a number of companies. About 3 years ago, we acquired about a $100 million company that added a number of product lines, and about a year and a half ago, we acquired about a $50 million company, again, with very good design talent and very good products. So we have a balance of developing things internally as well as acquiring, and I think that's part of the strength of our company and differentiates us from some of our competitors.
What is Intercell's sort of company philosophy? You can't get that far without having a pretty clear focus.
Yeah, our focus is really on exceptionally interesting and demanding circuits. So we find that if we develop really, really differentiated products, that's challenging to our own employees, but it's also what the market requires, and it truly differentiates ourselves. So it's really internally consistent that we're developing things that are helping change the world. At the same time, that's really what the technical community wants to do, not develop things that are ho-hum, but rather, in fact, things that are going to change things. And an example of that is we worked with Samsung and Sony last year to help solve a very interesting problem associated with very large LCD TVs. And our engineering team actually was involved in making a dramatic technical improvement in LCD TV. So that group of people is absolutely excited and energized. And it's just one example of where we as a company are differentiating ourselves and have created a great environment, and it's part of why we're succeeding.
On a real international forum, too.
Absolutely. I mean, this international group, some in Korea, some in Japan, some here in Silicon Valley. Actually, some of our engineers in India actually got involved. So a very international perspective, and one that really affords an opportunity for people who are really talented, really aggressive, really excited and innovative and entrepreneurial to make a difference.
Is it important for entrepreneurs to have an international perspective on a business? Because it seems like there's, you know, some people will counter and say, look, you know, there's plenty of brain power here in the U.S., in the good old U.S. of A. Is that possible to have that attitude anymore and to survive as a company?
a company cannot survive in that environment. So much innovation is taking place in many other markets of the world, and if a company really wants to grow in the technology space, you have to be willing to work in all of those environments to succeed. And I think as individuals, one needs to have an international perspective for very much the same reasons. It doesn't matter, you could get a great education in the United States. The fact of the matter is, in technology, you're going to want to work with some of the major companies in Europe, if it's automotive, telecom, some of the companies in Japan, if it's consumer, or Korea, in China, in the PC space, and individuals have to understand how to work in that environment, what the nuances of working in those environments are to be effective.
An entrepreneur listening to this podcast is looking for some clues, something that has made Intersil successful, or something that you can say maybe as a general sort of set of, a couple of golden rules or something for an entrepreneur to look at. What should they be thinking about when they're going forward and considering expanding a business or developing one?
Mm-hmm. I think some of the keys really are you have to be understand what technologies are going to lead to products that are really good products. But equally important, one has to recognize, is there really a market for those products? If one gets enamored with technology or with what can be created, but fails to truly recognize the dynamics of a market, whether or not this can be economical, then they could develop the finest products for which there is no market. So start from the perspective of, is there something that you can do differently, but you better be sure that somebody really wants it and can afford whatever the economics drive for that. So don't forget either one of those, or you're not likely to succeed.
Where can one find out a little bit more about Intersil?
You can go to the web. It's www.intersil.com. And it's a substantive website about all of the products, as well as where the company's operating, as well as interesting job opportunities for the company. And we would welcome anybody to come and do that.
Can you spell Intersil for us?
Intersil, I-N-T-E-R-S-I-L.
I've been speaking today with Rich Beyer, who is the CEO of Intersil, and it's been great talking with you on the podcast. Another international company here, Tycon 2006, and taking a look at the larger world and where the entrepreneur and an innovative company belongs. And thanks for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.